Today's Daf Yud Daf Chaf Vav, and we ended last year discussing the machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda if the Isur Chametz on Erev Pesach is Doraita Drabanan. Towards the end, it said, Rabbi Meir Omer lo tochel alav chametz ala chilato, meaning alav, meaning on the eating, that's the Isur of eating chametz, because that's at the time you're eating it, which is already when you eat the Korban Pesach, even the Korban Pe sorry, eating the Korban Pesach, that is at the night, because the Shecht on the 14th and on the 15th they ate it. So that's why, well, you see the Isur Chametz Daraisa is that evening, whereas Reb Yehuda says, Lo tochal alav chametz al asiyato, that the it's actually the asiyato, meaning the alav, meaning on the actually offering the Korban Pesach, which was done during the day on the 14th. Yafeh. Now, this is where we got, I think this is where we got to. Reb Yehuda, idle aser velo taser chato. So Reb Yehuda, who holds that this is Daraisa on the during the afternoon of the 14th, from Chatzot onwards, there's an aser and lo taser on consuming chametz, and aser and lo taser on basically removing it. So ba'yireh ba'yamatzeh and the obligation to remove it. So let's understand. Aser al achilato k'shevat yamim t'chol alav matzot, meaning you, again he understood alav is talking about already from the 14th then. So he says that shevat yamim you've got to go eat matzot, positive to eat matzah, mashma not chametz. And ki kolot, and then it says kolot taseh shabami kal aser yasehu. So an implied isur by way of an aser is considered a mitzvah aser. Velo taseh al chalito, because lo tochal alav chametz, like we said. Aser al bioro, because it's shishibat yam teshpito or seomri batechem. So that's a positive thing to remove it. And lo tochal alav lo taseh is al bioro shibat yamim tzor lo yimatzeh v'chubat lechem. You're not a fine in your house. Okay, yafe, that's the aser lo taseh on biur chametz as well. Now the Gemara goes back to Shir Reb Meir. How Reb Meir it says, if you recall Reb Meir already from the already for, like we say the whole Erev, really not whole Erev, from Chatzot onwards is the Rabbanan. But he says, okay, but one second. Okay, so but one second. Now I've got to add it to you. I don't think you have this in your Gemara. I'm not sure, but it's in mine. Shvi'it is asur mishum already from the 7th hour onwards. So after Chatzot is midrabanan. Shishit lama. Why is you saying asur in the 6th hour? That's mishum geder. That's also gzera. We have a question. Yes, geder legeder. Do you make a gzera mishum a gzera? Now normally we say you don't make a gzera mishum another gzera. Okay, there's well, ain't no sim gzera ligzera is the expression. Ela no shah shishik milcha v'shvi. No, the reason why it's like the sixth hour is asu because it's readily confused with the 7th hour, and effectively we'd say that is a kula chada gzera nino. That's usually the expression. Whenever you have run into a problem, sometimes how are you making gzera, and the response a lot of the time is actually no, it's actually one full gzera. From the outset, it was that way. Okay. Fine. Now the Gemara goes, "Hari Yehuda, one second, umichamesh." So from the 6th hour, from the 5th hour onwards, it's asur midrabanan. The Gemara says, "One second, shishit asur mishum geder." From midday onwards, it is doraisa. We've said according to Rabbi Yehuda, the 6th hour is midrabanan. Chamishit, why are you making the 5th hour asur as well? Lama mishum geder. The Gemara once again, v'yesh geder legeder, you make a gzera mishum so ela chamishim mitchalev v'shvi'it, because people can readily make a mistake between the sixth, the fifth, and the 7th hour. Now, finally, we understand why we've been talking about Pesach. We get to our point, because this takes us all the way back to our mission we've been discussing with the Edim to determine whether they have a consistent testimony or not. Because let's have a look. Now we say, one second, mechalev v'shvi'it to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we've got a contradiction. Taman amar in chamishim mitchalev v'shvi'it, you just said now that the fifth and 7th hour is not confused. And here you're saying that 5th hour is confused at the 7th. So let me just explain. In our mission, we said it's considered conflicting testimonies if one person says it was a 5th hour, one person says 7th hour. Well, why? We said, well, the sun's on different parts of the sky at that time of the day, before noon and afternoon. So if one aide says the 5th hour, one says the 7th hour, we say that it's conflicting testimonies. Whereas in the case of Chametz, you're saying, oh, no, we've got to make a gzera of 5th hour because of the 7th hour because people confuse the two. So make up your mind. Do people get confused with the 5th and 7th hour or not? That's a conflict. That's a contradiction within the Shid Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. The Gemara now says, so that Taman, by the way, is our case, not to be confused. Because the orientation is a different sugya, right? So Taman in our case, it's not mitchalefet. That's why you can be considered false test, like the contradictory testimony. Over here, he says it's kosher. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, no. Taman hadavar masula nashim ve hen atzilot, literally translated, is that there the matter is given over to women, really to everybody. That's an expression, and therefore their atzilot. Atzilot is not necessarily particular, likely to make a mistake. Okay, with between the fifth and seventh hour. However, the Gemara continues. However, in our case, hacha hadavar masur le. Here it says Aden. Well, you've got Beit Din here, but the Korban says Aden. Behen zarizim. So, in other words, when someone's coming to act as a witness, they're likely to take much more care to the details of the circumstance they're finding themselves in. Let's put it that way. So, therefore, the difference between a five and fifth and seventh hour. That's a blatant mistake. That's a blatant contradiction because they would, if they're willing to come and act as a witness, they're going to know what time the incident was. And you're not going to likely mix up between the fifth and seventh hour, different times, different parts of the sky. However, when it comes to other matters, by Chametz, yeah, fifth and seventh hour, people are presumably not, occupied with all the various other things they're doing in preparation for Pesach, and they're likely to make a mistake. That's effectively the distinction. That's answer number one. Rabbi Yossi Bar Abun says, no, Taman Tchilat Chamishit Sof Shvit. In other words, there in our Mishnah, even though it says Taman means, and really in our Mishnah, where do we say the witness is considered conflicting? That's where one witness says it was the beginning of the fifth hour, and the other witness says it was the end of the seventh hour. So quite clearly, there are different parts of the sky, different sides of the sky, east, west. However, what's the concern when it comes to Chametz? Why is he making Gzeirah confusing fifth and seventh hour? Well, because the Issur D'oraisa of Chametz is from when? D'oraita, that is, from the beginning of the seventh hour, basically noon. However, and so, V'tani Tchilat Chamesh, sorry, one second, I've got ahead of myself. Let's go. So, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Tchilat Chamesh, Sof Shvit, Hacha, Sof Chamesh, Chamishit, and Tchilat Shvit. And in our case, that since the end of the fifth hour is likely to get much more easily confused with the beginning of the seventh hour. Now, there's a completely different span of time. But that being the case, the way the Qur'an explains it, if you're already making the end of the fifth hour asul, make the whole fifth hour asul mishum gzera as well. Okay? So that's the difference. So to explain once again, in our Mishnah, when it comes to the Edom and the conflicting testimony, it's quite clear there's a blatant difference between the beginning of the fifth hour and the end of the seventh hour. When it comes to Pesach, it's right from the beginning of the seventh hour is considered Asur Chametz Doraita according to Rabbi Yehuda. The end of the fifth hour, one could likely mix up now between the two. There's only like effectively just over an hour's difference between the two. And therefore, we make Gzera apply to, well, since we're already into the fifth hour, let's make it the entire fifth hour. It says, V'taniken, so similarly it says, Tanya, Tchilat Chamesh, Ha'chama be'Mizrach, V'sof Shiva, Chama be'Ma'arav. So once again, it's saying that specifically the beginning of the fifth and end of the seventh, that's when you have that really distinction between where the sun is. Like very easily understand the difference where the sun is. Ella, when you really see notice that it's going to the west, that is when it is Besof Shiva, the end of the seventh hour. Fair. Let's not continue this now. Halacha Dalet. Ein machnisina tasheni. They would bring the second person in their check-in. If the two witnesses now have a consistent testimony, that's when you start opening to try and find, is this person going to be innocent? We're still dealing with capital cases. If one of the witnesses says, look, I can offer something in the favor of the accused. If remember from before, we said, no, we don't accept it. And similarly, or if one of the Talmidim sitting says, "Yesh le'amed ala chovah," I've got something to incriminate this person. I've got a reason, an argument. We also mishtatkin oto, because again, we said, "Lo hakol me'aladim chovah." However, if one of the Talmidim says, "Yesh le'amed ala schud," I have a tzad here. I've got a reason to say why this person should be innocent, found innocent. Ma'alim, they bring him up, and moshevin otam yahen, they bring him to sit amongst the dayanim. V'lo yored im masham kol hayom. And they wouldn't, and he wouldn't, he would say the entire day. So, im yesh mamash b'darav shomim lo, if he had some substance, then they would listen to what he said. Afilu hu amar yesh li lamed al atzmi zchut. Now, this is the accused, even if it says I've got something that can reason why I should be innocent, then shomim lo, we would listen to him, b'vad shiyu mamash b'darav, and we saw the discussion regarding this earlier on. But it's quite clear from this Mishnah that in the accused himself can present an argument to say why he should be innocent. Let's continue. Now the Gemara says, Tani. Now this brayta, and no one really comments on this, but it really should, I think, it should be after the next Mishnah, the next halacha, because it's the next halacha that basically says all the details here. You'll see exactly what I mean in a moment. But let's continue. Tani, hayu matzu lo zchut. So this is almost like a continuation of the flow of what we said in the Mishnah, because that's what the content of the next Mishnah is. So, im matzu lo zchut, if they find some sort of, they found him really innocent, patruhu, then they would say, you're innocent, you can go home. Im lav, if not, ma'avrin dinol lamachar. They would delay the din to the next day, meaning they would deliberate over the entire night. Lamachar, gim zugod, and they would partner off. Meaning the dayanim, they wouldn't drink wine, and they would reduce their food consumption. They deliberate over the entire matter during the night, or the entire night. On the they get up in the morning. I don't know how to translate the shamashim in this context, but the panacestim, but the people that are let's put it that way. Fine. And machsin rachem, then go and basically go to each of the dining. But omer ish ploni mechayev ha'ita, and he says mechayev ani mezakeh ha'ita umezakeh ani. In other words, they would say you were what's your position? And they if they, you know they yesterday they were held and guilty and they maintained their position or innocent maintained position. If he says mechayavaiti, look, I found him guilty yesterday, but over the night mezakeani, I've actually changed my position. Then shuminlo, then we'd listen to him. If, however, mezakeaiti, he sees one of the dayanim says, look, I found him innocent yesterday in my reasoning, but now mechayavani, I actually think he should be found guilty. Then they'd say lamedchila. Now this is a very interesting discussion. Lamedchila. The reason for that is what does it even mean? Lemetchila means go learn it over. So do we accept his switch in position? If we don't accept his position at all, what's the point of him saying Lemetchila? Why not just saying Shominlo? So the Sharia Korban, the Korban, written by Korban, Sharia Korban goes into quite a lot of length here because we saw previously the discussion of when we said HaMelamed Chov, Zchut Eina Melamed Chovah, what were the limits on that? If you remember, Rebbe says that that's only by Gemar Din, but during the Shaklat Tarya, they would be able to change their position. So what are we saying to him? Lamed Chila. So it's possible to say what it means. Lamed Chila means okay, we'll accept your change of position, but let's go through it over one more time. That's one way of explaining it. However, if you remember, we had Rabbi Yossi Machanim that says he can never change his position. So what's the point of saying Lamed Chila? It's very difficult to understand that. However, he seems to understand the simple reading of which. Of which he explains the mission as well. You'll see when we get to that soon. Is that during the Shakel Vataria he can't change his position, but by Gmar Din he can change his position. That's the opposite of Rebbe. This is a third opinion now. So when it's saying Lamed Chila, it says, okay, you want to change your position, we can't accept your change now, but go over it again because by Gmar Din you will be able to change your position. Okay, so in other words, we can't accept this change yet, but by Gemar Din, when it's time to do the final accounting, etc., the count, that's when he could change the position. Okay, so that's again, it's very that's the in a nutshell what he explains, I think, of this piece of the Gemara. Then it says, Ta'achad min ha'dayanim, im haya mezakeh, sofrei dayanim mazkirin oto. Im haya, now this first reading the Breiter is, let's say one of the dayanim forgets, couldn't remember what he says. Then one of the Sofrei Dayanim that wrote his arguments, because that was all written down like we described in the past, he would remind it. Imaya Mechayev, if it was one of the people says he found him guilty, now it says, here it says, Amrim lo lamed chila, same lashon as before, or the Korbanet says, in maskirun, you don't remind him. It's interesting, yeah, meaning he's got to work it out for himself again, because this again, we're trying to push the person to be innocent. However, now we've got Rav Lah that says in Amora, "Neimar kotvim d'Rei Mezakeh." Why do we write the Divrei Mezakeh? "Mipnei haMechayev Shema Titaref Dato." So I'll just read the Korban Eda because again, there's lots of different ways to explain this piece of the Gemara, and I'm going to explain another Korban Eda like just a bit for consistency. So it says, "Mipnei ma kotvim d'Rei Mezakeh." See, lichtov ploni zika umimela ein yachol lachzor bo, because he can't go back. Says Mipnei Hamechayev, meaning Tzrich Lichtov Tame Mechayev. The reason for the Mechayev, Shemi Yitbalbel Dato, just in case he gets confused, he can't remember. Vishkach Mimeno Atam, and he forgets the reason why he thought the person should be guilty. La Mechayev. Umneken, and therefore he will be too scared to Malamed Schut. Because he says, look, I was so convinced yesterday, I can't remember what my position was, but I'm gonna, so therefore I'm gonna stick to that position because I was so convinced by it, even though I can't remember why. So achshav, that's why maskirin lo tama, we remind him of a position. So therefore we do, we remind him of his full argument. It's different to, it seems to be different to what we saw in the Brayta just above it. We do remind him of his full argument so that he can see that what that he can see what he based his position on, so that he can undermine it now and says, actually, that's mistaken. Because if you don't remind him, he'll think, one second, I had a good argument. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I don't want to change my position because I was pretty convinced by it. But if you actually laid out in front of him what he said, oh, with fresh eyes now, well, not really fresh eyes, he's been up all night, but he could say, oh, okay, now I can see what I said yesterday. That doesn't make sense anymore. Okay? That's why it's important to write the Rei Mechav. The Gemara says, now, here the Gemara says, this is an argument, Uparich. Just back to the Gemara. Ve'in chalif mila yamrun le hada amrat hada lo amrat. So in other words, kolom mishum ze ein ne lenoch. They don't have to write anything down. I'm still in the korban now. Ve'im itchalef lo davar yaskir acharim. People just remind him. Ve'omrul ze amrat. No, you said this. You said this. And the answer is tzrich hashnei edim nimtzad dino mishtakeya. So the way the korban explains this is lo yamin lahim. You won't believe them. Ad you until there's two edim that testify, if you like. That this is exactly what his reasoning was. Nimtza, it's going to delay the matter. Umaneata din, again, prolonging a capital case for an individual is not fair for them. It causes them anguish, which you don't want to do. Aval bektiva, but if it was written down, like recorded, then it will be, that's a quicker way of clarifying the matter. So, in other words, the flow of the sugya team is why we're writing the Divrei HaMezakim, because I need to agav, if you like, because I need the Divrei HaMechayevim. Why need the Divrei HaMechayevim? Because if the person has second can't remember what his arguments was to find the person guilty, and he's not really sure about it, he might think, look, I was so confident yesterday, I don't, and therefore I'm too scared to change my position. So we remind him of it, but remind him of it in a way that it can quickly clarify the matter. Meaning, this is a recording of your position. He says, okay, Besed, I see that, and I see what I said was actually has no grounds, and it could more readily now switch position from guilty to innocent. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar-Mun says, no, Mibneh HaMezakeh. Now, this interesting Mibneh HaMezakeh is I need to write down the Divrei HaMezakeh, Mibneh HaMezakeh. In other words, Shehuchu Lichtov, again, the Korban Eda, Lichtov She'enu Yachol Lachzor. We need to write it down, even though the Mezakeh can't be chozer. Now this is very interesting. We have to lock the person in who says the person who's says innocent is locked in this position. Exactly when and how we saw the 3-8 debate just before. But in order to lock him in this position, even a locked in position, if he says, I made a ta'ut, a mistake that even the shatztukim modimbo, even the tztukim will agree with, meaning something mafurish b'Torah, and I made such a mistake, that's a mistake upon which he could chozer from zchut l'kovah. So in order that he doesn't have that opening, we write the Divrei Mezakeh, all his positions, so that we can indeed truly lock the person who found him innocent to be in that position that he's innocent. Okay, that is the explanation there. Fine, let's continue. That's in the Mishnah now that I said is I think should have been above. But it says, patro, they find him innocent, he goes home. V'im lav, if not ma'arin, then what we do is we push off the judgment to the next day. Once again, very similar to what's on the Brayta. They partner up in chavrusas, they reduce the food consumption, they wouldn't drink wine, call the entire day. And they would deliberate through the matter the entire night. In the morning, they come and mashkim. Okay, Hamazakeh Omer, the person says, Ani, hu Hamazakeh, Mikomi. Look, I still hold my position that the person's innocent. Nothing's changed. Hamechayev Omer, the person says, Ani, hu Hamechayev, I found him guilty. And I'm still hold my position. Hamelachayev Chavut, Melamed Zuchut, Avalamed Zuchut, Ena Melamed, Ena Chola. Again, that was the expression we saw the 4, that someone who found him guilty can switch to the innocent position, and the person who found innocent cannot switch to guilty. Again, when we'll discuss in a moment. If they couldn't remember their position, software as we just learned in more detail when we learned the brighter above, that would be reminded. If they find him innocent, they say goodbye now. But if not, they would now take a vote. If you got 12 of the 23 that said innocent and 11 says guilty, well, that's a majority of one for innocent. So therefore, he's innocent. Zakai. If you've only got a majority of one for guilty, or even if you've got everyone says he's guilty and one person, I don't know, as soon as you don't have, as soon as the person says, I don't know, you don't have a full Sanhedrin anymore. So then you have to add Dayanim. Now, the question is, you could theoretically continue this pattern forever, no? So I'd come Mosifim. Shnayim, you know, Shnayim is Shnayim Shnayim. How many times can you keep on adding two until you get a majority of either one innocent or majority of two guilty? It says Ad Shivim Mechan until you get to 71. Okay, Shloshim. What if you've got at that point you're still stuck? Shloshim v'shesh mezakim the Shloshim v'chamesh mechayevim. Well, zakai. Sorry, if you've got a majority of one that is innocent, well, he's innocent. But what if you've still only got a majority of one that is chayev? Shloshim v'shesh. You've got 36 mechayevim the Shloshim v'chamesh mezakim. Then Danim Elu Kenaget Elu, they would have to deliberate regarding the matter until one of the people that said it, that he was guilty will now say he's innocent to switch it from majority one guilty, majority one innocent, and then they go home. Then we say, okay, you're innocent. Which is now, if you take that literally, that means we're at a deadlock until only one occurrence could happen. One of the guilty people says he's innocent. So you just gotta wait. But that's not exactly the case. Because again, the Korban Eden explained, according to what we saw in the Braita, is that they're locked into, according to one understanding, they're locked into the position if he says he's innocent, he can't say guilty during deliberations, but by Gemar Din he can. So I'll just read the Korban Eden, it says, De'ika hatayala Im That if one of the people found him innocent, will change the position to say now he's guilty to give him a majority of two to say guilty, it would work. That's the position we mentioned before. Because according to the Tana and our Mishnah, it seems to be that even if at the time of Gemar Din, even the person who thought he was innocent can change his position now to say, actually, I think he's guilty. And why didn't the Mishnah say it the other way around? Why did the Mishnah only say until one of the people found him guilty will now say innocent? Because again, the preference always we're trying to he's looking at trying to find this person innocent, but nonetheless, if it could go the other way. That's the Chiddush here. Let's continue. Ima, do you want to say? So Imatzulos Patru. Now, Tani, Achan mina Edim Shamar Yeshlilamed Alav. Now, we said this before. If one of the witnesses wanted to say, actually, I think there's an argument to say he's innocent. Okay? Ubachaverovasiato. And another one of the friends come to help him. Ubachaverovasiato. And this is and the repetition of Basiato is if there's like a group of three witnesses. Et mimamin Rishon Leshen Leshnehem. So I'll read you the Korban Eda here. Hachi Pirusha says, Shomim Dira Edim Lischut. But we can hear the position of the Edim, it seems to be, to find him innocent. Upaligamanitim, and it's Cholok on the Mishnah. So it seems in Machloket here whether the Edim can present an argument to in the favor of the person being accused to find him innocent. We saw it previously that. Absolutely not. There's no question he can do it. Because again, he might have a vested interest, if you remember, according to Bnei Moshe, the witnesses not to be found false witnesses. Or what, there were different explanations why that would be. However, it seems to be here that according to this understanding, this Breita, they can present an argument through Eden themselves. Says, actually, we think there's a grounds now to say why this innocent person will be innocent. Okay? But we've learned in our Mishnah already that someone, a Talmid, who's Melamed Zchut, can now sit amongst the Dayanim. Okay? So he gets up and you see, and he stays up there. Let's say one of the witnesses presents an argument, another witness backs him up. He's Chavra Masayato. Et mi memanin le dayan harishono asheni ushneim. Who now comes to sit on the amongst the dayanim? Now you can see where this is getting a bit strange, because the Gemara's assumption is anyone who presents as chut goes and sits amongst the dayanim. So the question is it the first, the second, or both of them? Also, in the Gemara's, the Korban says we could have said the same thing regarding a one of Talmidim. If one of promotes an argument and someone and one of his counterparts assists him as well, there it's quite obvious it's only one of them. Now, the question is, do we even let any of them come up? So you can probably assume where this Gemara is going. But the Gemara says as follows: Min mehada, conform with Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu she nizdakeh mipiatzmo, ein mashiminoto a dayan. So we've seen before that the person himself, the accused, can melamed al atzmo zchut, and quite clearly, even though they'd hear his argument, he's not going to be amongst the nimni machad. He's not going to be amongst the dayanim, and his position is not going to be one of the ones that are to find him innocent. Because it's him, he's on trial. So too as well, hare nizdakeh mipi continue edim v'nitzah ed v'dayan, and lo matzinu ed nasei dayan. But he says that if you're going to, just as the point is, we've seen that the fact that someone presents an argument to that the person is innocent is not a hard and fast rule that is now canon amongst the dayanim. What's the proof? The Baal Din himself. So if we've already got an opening, we can find now a reason why the Edim themselves, even at the present argument, can be kind of like the Edim, Dayanim. Why? Because you've got a principle, En Ed Naaseh Dayan. Witnesses cannot wear two hats. They cannot also act as the judges. Okay? So therefore, just as we found one reason to break this rule that anyone who's the Baal Mezakeh can now be Dayan, you say it can't work for the Baal Din himself, the accused, so too also but the Edim. Now the Gemara says, "Omer b'din mamonot nizdaken ha'din, v'agadol b'dayin yomer nizdaken ha'din." Nizdaken ha'din is an explanation that we've really thought through the process. We've come to this is our conclusion, and the expression was is to use the after the Korban Ha'eda. He says, "Hadin salul is clear baruch ki ilu nizdaknu mi'bozman." We spent hours on this. Ve'ein ledek ba'od. Like this is our final conclusion, type of thing, our clear conclusion. So ve'ein, but you don't do that for din nefashot. Even if they've come to the final conclusion, because always, even after the din, if a dayan, the guy's being taken away to be killed, and thinks actually I've got another reason, you can unroll it, you can bring them back, okay? So in other words, that was only the din mamonot where they say this very definite terminology of yes, we've reached our conclusion. It is all clear. It says by gadol and the greatest amongst the dayanim, and who omer nizaken ha'din, af agav d'meshabeach nashto, even though he's like seems to be praising himself, I've done this wisely, nonetheless, given the mili debatin him to him aleya aramia aleya him aleya aramia la'amran. It's the job, it's of the debatin to exact judgment, and therefore that's what they're meant to be doing. Okay.
Does the Gemara ever give actual examples? I mean, like from the Masorah of cases where
A
this
price precedence
precedence of judges changing their minds, the manner of the case, the manner of
I don't know,
discussion.
not to that detail. I don't know. I don't think so. I'd be wrong. I don't know. Okay, so do a bit more. So I come sifim tani. Now here at this point, the again, this is different ways of reading this sugya as well, but Korbanina says tani lo'am ein mosfim b'chot mishnayim. That's what you add. But when you're adding in a dim mamonot, you have to add two. So Gemara says, "Lama musimim dayanin, she'im ayu shnayim min arshim mizakim v'chad min achronim ligmor din b'shlosha." So he says this is like a question. He says, "Why do I have to add two dayanim?" If you remember, in a case of dina mamono, why would it be that I have to add extra witnesses? Because one of them says eni odea. Okay, so if one says eni odea, I can simply add one witness, and then I'll have my three. No, why do I need to add two witnesses? I'll read it inside. He says, "Lama musifim b'dinim mamon shneidim b'chad zegit should be one. V'la'avi shnayim min arishinim, two from the beginning. V'chad min arichim, one of this extra one, and you can finish with three. V'chad shemini odea kaman delated dam." Because if you remember before, if one of the dayanim says, "Look, I don't know," it's as if the reason why you have to add extra dayanim is because it's as if he's kaman delated dam. It's as if he wasn't there. So as if he wasn't there, then all you have to do is add one extra dayan, no, and that would be sufficient. Why are we adding two? So it says, Amar lav mekem shenira dino ligmor ba'arba ein gomrin oto b'shlosha. So the way he reads it is as follows. Here he says, mekem shenira ligmor ba'arba. He says, kishumosvim echad, harei kanei got four dainim. The person who initially said one of the three dainim, this is, I don't know, yachol bo. He could change his mind now. There's no different in nefesh that a dayan can change his mind to the benefit of the accused. It's all schud. It's always a benefit to one of the parties. And you always need a majority. In that situation, you need a majority. In a case of four, you need a majority. How much is a majority in four? You need three, not not two. Choose one majority. Sometimes you might have you need because then you'll need three anyway. Therefore, you need to have add two. Because again, it could be possible in the first case, one said any idea, one said yes, one says no. If I add one, I won't, and technically there are four dayanim here, and that one says the yes or the no, whichever direction it is, you'll only have two. You want a majority of you, and you need three to have a majority. So therefore, dafki, you always need, if you like, you have to add an extra two. So in other words, yes, mathematically it might work in one circumstance by adding one, but it won't work necessarily for what we're trying to achieve. Okay, set it. Okay. Set it, we'll stop. We'll continue that tomorrow. Have a good day.